Warehouse design process. Logistics professionals are not responsible for the highly technical work involved in designing and specifying warehouse facilities. However, they should understand enough of the design process to become valuable contributors to it. After all, they will have to operate the facilities and will be answerable for warehouse performance. They should understand what designers need from them in terms of data and input, and what they need from designers in terms of results that meet operational needs. The goal in the warehouse design process is to avoid mistakes that will limit the effectiveness of a new or redesigned warehouse. Exhibit 4-29 describes a typical 10-step design process. Source: adapted from Rushton et al., The Handbook of Logistics and Distribution Management, 5th edition. Successfully completing the design process requires adherence to the principles of good project management. Identify and engage stakeholders who will be affected by the warehouse. Develop a thorough understanding of the requirements the warehouse must fulfill and the constraints that limit the design. Agree on objectives for the warehouse. Develop and test iterations of the design against those objectives. Finalize a design that meets as many of the objectives as possible. Validate performance to specifications after design and construction are completed. Let's look more closely at the steps in the design process. Note that we will not cover the activities required to implement the design, for example, soliciting bids, controlling budgets and schedules, or performing quality control. Define requirements and constraints. The warehouse strategic plan should yield information that can be used to create design objectives. For example, what tasks is the warehouse expected to fulfill? Storing inventory, refrigerated storage, reverse logistics, cross-docking, performing value-added activities. What is the estimated required throughput and/or storage capacity? What is the desired customer service level? Constraints are conditions that limit the design in some way. Possible constraints include timing. The company may have an immediate need for the new warehouse, and this may limit options on site sizes and features. Cost. There may be limited resources to fund the project, or the planners may have to demonstrate a certain level of return on investment to win management approval. This is sometimes referred to as an internal hurdle rate. Capital cost, the cost of financing, may limit the amount that can be financed. Physical conditions. If a site has already been chosen, for example, a site already owned by the business or one available at an irresistibly attractive price, it may pose physical limitations to construction. Topography may limit size and layout. Soil conditions may limit height and therefore storage capacity. Regulatory conditions. Local governments may place restrictions on certain types of structures and uses, or they may require mitigations, such as strengthening local roads, intersection improvements, or air and water quality monitoring and wastewater/runoff treatment. Government regulations about energy use, waste and recycling hazardous materials, and work hours and conditions may influence warehouse operations and the requirements for the new facility. Insurer conditions. To gain insurance, the warehouse may have to include special systems to prevent or mitigate damage due to natural and human-made events, from fires and earthquakes to pilferage and product tampering. Rushton et al. Note that warehouses typically have service lives of more than 10 years. The possibility of different business requirements and environmental constraints within that horizon should be included in planning. Define and obtain data. The next step in the process is to gather information about the warehouse that will help define its capabilities and capacities. Because of the warehouse's possible service life, data should be gathered about future as well as current needs and conditions. Rushton et al. Recommend a 1-year planning horizon for staffing levels and costs, a 5-year horizon for the size of the facility and type of equipment, a 10-year horizon for the acquisition of land for expansion. Exhibit 4-30 lists the type of information planners should have in hand before thinking about actual size and layout. This information can be obtained from the business's records for similar facilities, for example, information about products, shipments, and orders, from the procurement department, from other warehouse managers and warehouse employees, and from consultants, for example, commercial realtors. Source: adapted from Rushton et al., The Handbook of Logistics and Distribution Management, 5th edition. Formulate planning base for defined throughput. A throughput model is created for the warehouse operation and populated with data that represent a variety of scenarios. For example, There may be additional scenarios to represent different anticipated levels of business, the effects of seasonality, the effects of using different types of equipment or stock management, and the inclusion of certain roles, such as reverse logistics or value-added services. The model in Exhibit 4-31, he creates a day's throughput for a simple warehouse operation in which 400 pallets are unloaded at receiving. Exhibit 4-31, throughput model. Of the 400 pallets received, 60 pallets are moved directly to shipping and sent on to other centers. 300 pallets are moved into a general storage area that supplies two pick locations for SKUs classified under the ABC system as A and B products. 30 pallets of C products are sent directly to that storage/pick location. An additional 10 pallets are stored in a separate area because of special characteristics. Each day, an equivalent amount of products is picked for the A, B, and C lines and sent to shipping. These types of diagrams can help determine how much warehouse capacity is needed for each storage area or zone, including additional areas such as for high security or climate-restricted goods. When these zones are planned separately, sufficient buffer space can be added to minimize the risk of bottlenecks. However, these types of diagrams should be seen more as conceptual flowcharts rather than proposals for actual warehouse layouts. The flow might best be arranged in a U-shape, for example. Similarly, while shipping and receiving docks are shown to help illustrate the start and the end, the number of docks needed might differ, for example, based on what is meant by a pallet equivalent. For example, if partial pallets are often shipped out, this will impact the needed number of shipping docks. The scenarios can be reviewed by project stakeholders, senior managers, internal customers, warehouse managers, as a way to identify mistakes and missed opportunities. For example, to align with business plans, management may want to increase the space allocated to buffer inventory or value-added activities. The stakeholders can then set mutually agreed objectives for the warehouse. The planning models can be used to generate estimates of the warehouse's value or return, using revenue per unit handled or cubic foot leased for storage. They can also be used to run sensitivity analyses to see how the design might perform under different conditions. Define and describe activity requirements. The types of activities performed in the warehouse will affect space and layout. For example, a reverse logistics warehouse may need more storage space for recyclable product and packaging components. The activities should also be seen in terms of their connections and interdependencies. This will impact layout and automation decisions. Select equipment. The choice of equipment will affect and be affected by warehouse space and layout. At a strategic level, equipment needs are defined in terms of desired throughput, capital budget, and return on investment. To develop a short list of viable equipment candidates, stakeholders consider the following issues. What equipment features are desired? The anticipated warehouse type and layout will require certain types of capabilities, for example, controlled climate, ability to store/retrieve at higher levels. For example, refrigerated warehouses require special floors, walls, and ceilings to maintain temperature. What are the most important selection criteria? The primary criteria for selection will usually be reduced handling time and increased capacity, but other criteria may be quantified if possible and included in the analysis, such as reduced damage to products, increased demand due to better customer service, higher resale value, or lower maintenance costs. Qualitative criteria such as safety and environmental effects or improved visibility and control over inventory can be weighted and added. What is the break-even point for automation? How long will it take for the investment to deliver the required return? How do automated and manual approaches compare? Depending on local labor costs, manual handling may be more economical. When is the needed live date? Automated systems, including the associated software, can take many months to select, install, and configure. Training will also be required. When the warehouse is needed sooner than that, less automated systems will need to be selected. Create internal and external layouts. The internal and external layouts describe the way the space will be used and how large a facility is needed. Warehouse size will depend on requirements and constraints. Space utilization and assignment will depend on the warehouse activities and the optimal layout. In general, warehouses should be designed to maximize the velocity of goods movements, which is a factor of linear distances, plus the need to avoid congestion or redundant handling. Internal layout. For the internal space, the layout can specify needs related to warehouse operations, such as required dock heights, vertical clearance in certain areas, distances between supports, tolerances for floor, unevenness, and necessary services in specific areas, for example, electric lines to recharging stations, drainage lines. The layout can also specify practices related to environmental and building management goals, such as the use of recycled materials in construction, recycling of construction waste, low-emission materials, for example, paints, flooring, insulation and infiltration values in walls, roof, windows, and doors, energy-efficient heating, cooling, and ventilation systems, including the installation of solar panels on rooftops and in parking areas, energy-efficient lighting systems, for example, the use of LED lighting with automatic controls or occupancy sensors, building management systems for automated control of heating, cooling, and ventilation equipment, security systems, for example, fire detection, cameras, and motion sensors, and reporting. These features may result in cost savings over an extended period of time and can help a facility achieve a sustainable certification such as LEED, Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, or BREEAM, Building Research Establishment's Environmental Assessment Method, which may be consistent with corporate values and objectives. External layout. The external layout includes the yard, access roadways, fencing and security structures, parking areas, vehicle maintenance areas with necessary utilities, signage, and landscaped areas. Details about the operation will influence these requirements. For example, vehicles that are heavily loaded will require different specifications for roadway construction. Trailer length and the use of double trailers will affect space required for maneuvering. The use of trailers for temporary storage will affect the size and layout of the truck parking area. Security needs will vary for different types of products and warehouse types, for example, bonded warehouses. Aspects of the external layout also have environmental implications. The potential runoff from the warehouse roof is substantial, and the warehouse grounds are, for the most part, paved and impermeable, deterring the absorption of runoff into the ground. This makes management of drainage a compliance issue in most communities, especially when runoff may contain environmentally hazardous chemicals. This same challenge can be an opportunity as well, an opportunity to recapture water for reuse in warehouse processes, for example, washing vehicles, sanitary systems, landscape irrigation. Define information system operation. The warehouse's information system will be used to track inventory from receipt through storage to picking to packaging to shipping. As details emerge about the warehouse's operations, the needs that the warehouse information system will have to satisfy become clearer. Will scanning or radio frequency identification technology be used? At what points will the inventory be scanned? How can technology be used to make the picking process or the receiving/shipping processes more efficient? In what respect will value-added services and assemblage work influence the technology needs? Machine learning and AI are areas of great potential for warehouse design systems due to the large datasets involved. Vendors are starting to add these optimization capabilities. Given information on required information system capabilities, the hardware, software, and any external services such as cloud services are designed and their costs are estimated. The typical cost breakdown for a greenfield warehouse is between a half and two-thirds of all expenses go to constructing the facility, and a third to half of the costs go to information systems equipment and software solutions, so this is an important design consideration. Estimate capital and operating costs. Both capital and operating costs are an essential part of the business case for investment that will be presented to company management and stakeholders. Capital costs will cover acquisition of property through purchase or lease, construction, purchase of equipment and information systems, and financing. Operating costs will cover utilities and taxes as well as the cost of labor. To estimate labor costs, the designers must propose staffing levels based on the warehouse throughput, service requirements, and typical activities. The designers can estimate staffing needs by position/function and decide if multiple shifts will be used. From these staffing needs, estimates of labor costs will follow, including salary and benefits costs, which can be estimated based on similar operations or industry data. The use of overtime and temporary workers, for example, seasonal employees. Training and worker equipment costs. Bathroom and washroom operational costs for staff and drivers. evaluate design. The design and its business case are presented to those who will approve the project. Both will be evaluated against the stated requirements for the warehouse and checked against constraints. Will the warehouse throughput or storage capacity satisfy the company's needs? Is it flexible to changing strategic direction and market conditions? Is it resilient to threats? Does it align with the business's values? Finalized design. Inevitably, the constraints of time, budget, and quality will interact to influence the design. A final design will be created to reflect compromises and provide clear direction to those implementing the project. A common area of compromise is the amount of capacity created. If the need for capacity is driven by temporary demand, it is possible to use temporary warehouse facilities or multipurpose structures slash areas in the existing design to meet this need. If the desire is driven by the possible need for capacity in the future, the design can be revised to include potential areas for expansion. Richards notes that there may be changes in the warehouse design and layout that can achieve increased capacity without increased footprint, including changing equipment, for example, types of racks, consolidating SKUs, reorganizing vertical space for greater efficiency, for example, having multiple ceiling heights to accommodate the needs of different products, using adjustable racks to minimize unused space, changing stock location methods.